We'll be going to Isaiah at some point here. Isaiah 55. Wanted to share today on the topic of what do you see? In Isaiah 55, I love this section of scripture. We'll just start there in Isaiah 55 in verse 6. Okay, I'm in 56. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God makes it very clear that his ways and his thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. "For as the rain cometh down," verse 10, "and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." He just finished saying that our thoughts and ways are not his ways and thoughts and ways. And then he says that when it comes to his thoughts, the word, that when he does something, it always accomplishes that which he has. Now, I can't say that from my word, right? Or my thoughts. But God says, okay, my ways and thoughts are not your ways and your thoughts. Recognize, he says, that my ways and thought, when I say something, when I give the word, it always, is that what it says? Right? "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So it would seem to me that it's very important in a situation to receive his word, right? And not to go by what I might be thinking or my ways and the things that I have figured out on my own. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. A similar verse. But I would just look at a couple of these verses, and I want to look at a few examples in the word after that. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That's very similar to what we just read in Isaiah, said in a little different way. Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So if we acknowledge him and allow him to direct our paths, and it's the word, his word, that we are going by, then it will accomplish that which God designed and purposed, right? So the point is that in every situation, it's important for us to get God's word. What is God's word that applies to this situation? Because we know that his word will not come back void. It will accomplish that which he's desired. So often, again, you know, I'll speak for myself, but so often in situations when problems arise or things come our way where we need a solution, we will tend to come up with a solution, right? We'll say, this is the solution, and then we'll try to strong-arm God into giving us the solution that we have already invented in our minds towards that problem, right? Well, that wouldn't be seeking his will, would it? That would be just going, assuming that our thoughts and ways should be equal to his thoughts and ways, and try to make him, make his way line up with, that has never worked. By the way, just for the record, okay? That never works, okay? So better to seek his way and his thoughts than to go by the preconceived ideas that we have. We need to get to his word, whether it's directly from the word of God or by revelation from him in a situation, we need to get his word in a situation. Look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. A section you're very familiar with when Moses and company being a lot of people, are having a small seaside barbecue. And they're supposed to be the ones being barbecued by the Egyptians, I guess. That was the plan of the Egyptians anyway. And so what happens is that Pharaoh and his army chase after, as you know, the children of Israel. And let's go down to verse 7. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, beside Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? No help to be found from that quarter, as far as Moses is concerned. Verse 12, Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than that we should die in the wilderness. So as far as Moses is concerned, it's a pretty difficult situation, a situation he needs a solution to. Right? So, verse 13, And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Right? He didn't say, Because I'm a good leader, I've been taught by Pharaoh all these years, I know about battle plans, I can figure, we're going to be okay. He says, See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Right. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall shut up. Hold your peace. Verse 15, that's the Hebrew way of saying it. 15, And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the... God says to Moses, Moses, you shut up too, all right? Speak unto the children of Israel, and that they may go forward. But now, verse 16, Lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Moses in the situation, that is not a solution that I would have come up with, right? Right? I'm just going to raise my hand and part the Red Sea, and we're going to just walk through on dry land, right? I mean, you could come up with a lot of ideas, but there's no way that that was probably going to be one of them, right? God says his ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts, right? They're not. They're just not, right? His ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, right? So if I want to deal with a situation in life, I need to seek his will. I need to understand what his will is, because then it will work. There's no way. I mean, you know, here's an example where man would not have been able to come up. What would you do? Well, we're going to fight. I don't know what's going to... Well, I don't know. Feed them the children first. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe not. See, the great thing is, when it comes to the Word of God, it's okay to not know what to do. Right? That's perfectly fine, right? And the thing with us is, we don't feel comfortable being in situations where we don't know what to do, so we'll always come up with something to do. Right? Well, it's okay not to know what to do, because God knows what to do. So the thing to do when you don't know what to do is ask him what to do and seek his will and find out what way or thought that he has for us in a situation that will accomplish the purpose that he desires, not even necessarily the purpose you desire in the situation, but what does he desire? Right? In this case, obviously his desire was to save his people. Right? So he told him, Moses, lift up your hand. And what happens? We know the rest of the story. 1 Kings chapter 17, record, I should say. 1 Kings 17. Chapter 17. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, wherefore before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So God tells him, I want you to go by this brook. You know, and okay, fine. Look at the next verse. I you know, the next verse. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now you think Elijah would have come up with that solution to get his food? No. Moses would not have known what to do. Elijah would not have known what to do. Right? God says, okay, there's no verse written here that records his reaction to that information. But I can imagine what it might be, you know, like, you're kidding, right? You know, but maybe not. Maybe he knew his God. He knew his God took care of him. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That, why bother trying to come up with an answer when we have access to he whose ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, right? Okay, ravens. Let's go with the ravens. Verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is beyond before Jordan. And the ravens, it shall accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Right? Wow. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. A little water and bread. And she said, As the Lord God, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Okay, so there is obviously not enough food for her, her son, and Elijah. So Elijah could say, well, let's divide into thirds. Maybe we can die a little later. You know, it might sustain us for a while. No, you see, situations come at us, and we're looking at these, you know, situations maybe seem a bit more dire than what we come across sometimes, but situations arise. Elijah needs an answer. I mean, he's walking with God. God has fed him by a brook with raven. He needs an answer. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Where do you think that wisdom and those thoughts came from? God, right? God told him, this gave him the solution that was required. Look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord, see, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And that's exactly what happened. See, God's word always accomplishes the purpose whereunto it is sent, right? So when we read things in the New Testament about what Jesus Christ means to you and me, right? How he's our righteousness. Well, is he our righteousness? If God's word says it, then we just heard the manifestations today. I don't have anything against you. I mean, you're righteous in my cleanse, right? He said, in my sight, right? There's nothing between you and him. So did that word get accomplished, right? It says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. That's what it says. His word will accomplish the purpose whereunto he sent it. That's how Jesus Christ was the living word, right? And believing that will result in deliverance. That's what the word says. That those are not my ways or your thoughts or my thoughts. They're God's thoughts. They're his ways. And that word has to come to pass. Look at Esther chapter 4. Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. In chapter 4, you will remember the record here. We're not going to read the record, just a couple of verses here. But where Esther had become queen of the nation, and Haman, the king's right-hand man, was trying to get all the Jewish people killed, and we know that record, and he had set it up such that they were going to destroy all the Judeans on a given day, and you know all that record. And at one point, Mordecai talks to Queen Esther, and it's interesting what he says to her. In chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews.'" He said, you know, you're a Judean, you're a Jewish. Don't think that you're going to escape this, you know, this day that's been sanctioned to kill all the Judeans in the palace, in the area. And verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," and this, I love this verse. He says, Esther, if you decide that you're not going to do anything, right, at this time, "then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Right? You see, his confidence was not in Esther, was it? No. Right? He knew that there was going to be a solution. He was not looking for his ways or thoughts. He said, listen, you know, if you don't say anything, I still know that there's going to be an answer. Right? I love that. "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." He goes, who knows? Maybe that's why you're the queen. But he said, even if you don't say anything, I still know that there's going to be deliverance for the people. That's having, you know, I said the teaching was called, "What Do You See?" Right? When a problem comes, what is it that we see? What do you see? Do you see the Egyptians and the chariots, or do we see God? Right? What was Moses looking at? You know, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Right? Elijah, what did he see? Did he see the lack of food? Did he see the, you know, or did he see God? Here in this situation, Mordecai, what did he see? Was he looking at, you know, the people who were going to kill all his people, or was he looking at God, right? And here, clearly, he says, look, I don't, you know, maybe if you're not going to say anything, Esther, I still know that there's going to be deliverance. So when one thing, you know, and situations will come at us all the time, right? It's up to you and me to decide, what am I going to look at in the situation? Am I going to look at the problem and think about it and figure out all my solutions and go through all that? Or am I going to see God, right, who has promised me, we heard it twice today, he will never leave you or forsake you. Never, right? So what are you going to see? In John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. It says in verse 1, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Right? Great verse, right? Jesus Christ working with his disciples. So he asked Philip, how are we going to feed these people? Right? He knew what to do. He asked Philip, why? He wanted to see, what does Philip see? Does Philip see all the people, lack of bread, or does he see God? What does he see? Right? Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Another guy said, Simon Peter, there's a little lad here, verse 9, which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Right. You see, that's the nature of man. Right? We will try to figure out how we can deal with an insurmountable situation by our own devices and by our own means, right? And Jesus is kind of interesting. Well, let's see. How would you handle this, Philip? Philip says, well, get out his calculator, his iPad. you know. Yeah.
The what?
The eye tablet? The eye eye scroll. Whatever. You know, try to figure out how many I got, you know, 5,000 people divided by 2 pennies worth of bread. That's not enough, right? Didn't even need his eye scroll, right? He could tell it right away. But see, his mind was not there, right? And so was Peter. His mind was not there. That's fine. Jesus didn't say, "You idiots," right? He's just trying to show them what to do. What would you do? He himself knew what he would do. And then he tells them to sit down and took the bread, but he blessed it and gave thanks. And guess what? Gave to all the people that were there, right? But see, God's solution, Peter couldn't have come up with it. Philip couldn't have come up with it. You know, Moses couldn't have come up with it. Elijah couldn't have come up with it. Esther, who would have thought, right, that those solutions, man would have come up with those? They couldn't, right? In 2 Kings chapter 6, back to Kings. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves, when problems arise in our lives, what do we see? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. This is the other e-prophet. E-prophet. Elisha. This is Elisha. Verse 13. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." The king asked where Elisha was hiding so they could go and give him his birthday cake. No. Right, go and destroy the prophet because he was a little annoyed with Elisha. Verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came to by night and encompassed the city about." Right? They encompassed the whole city about. They're after one prophet, okay? Right? I think this might be a little bit in the overkill department, right? But they're at, well, maybe not. He is a prophet of the Lord, after all. That will be in the underkill department. Verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" What are we going to do? I love this. "And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" At this point, the servant of the Lord would say, "Why, you here's my eye scroll. It's obviously not, you're not always not very good at math, right? The math is not working here for me." And Elisha, verse 17, prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes." Right? You see, what do you see? Right? What is it that Elisha was looking at? Right? He just tells him, not his physical eyes, because obviously his physical eyes are working just fine. Right? Because he was seeing the host. He was saying, "Open his eyes spiritually. Let him see. Right? Let him see what you are and how you can deal with the situation." Right? "I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of chariots, horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness.' And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha." Right? So in just a little bit of looking up and saying, take a look. Right? And for us, every situation, look at all that's been accomplished for you and me in Jesus Christ. Is there a situation that God can't give you the understanding you need and to get you out of a situation or to help you to find the godly solution that is required for your circumstances? You know, no, there isn't one. I will close in 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You have to just think about, well, what am I looking at? Am I looking at the problems? Am I looking at my own lack? Or am I looking at God, right? And what his ability is and what he can do and what he's promised time and time and time again that he will do and that he's shown, you know, throughout all of God's people, his history, time and time and time again that he has done and he has blessed. Reminds me of Paul. Remember in Corinthians, he says, you know, he's delivered me now, and I know that he will deliver me. He didn't even know what situations were coming up in the future, right? Sounds like Mordecai, doesn't it? I don't know if you're going to say anything. I just know that I'm going to get delivered. We're going to get delivered. It's like Paul. Look, he's always delivered us. He's delivering us right now. And in the future, he's going to deliver us, right? That's confidence in God. That's confidence in our Father. And that's looking at him. In Psalm 17, and verse, remember the record of David and Goliath. And in verse 45, when the Philistine, you know, really rails on David, David just answers. And then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." You know, and it was clear that David saw the sword, he saw the spear, and he saw the shield. And he could have just looked at the height of Goliath, he could have looked at the fear of the Israelites, and he could have looked at the sword, the spear, and the shield. But he says, I, in verse 45, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, right? So he saw God. He chose to see God and not to see the sword, the spear, the shield, the fear, and everything else that he could have looked at, right? I mean, do you think that he could have come up with a solution, that a single stone could have brought down this guy? No. God's solution. You see, if we look to him, he says, look, trust me with all your heart, and I will direct your paths. He doesn't say, I might. I will direct your path, right? Isaiah, he says, you get my word, people. My word's going to promise, it's going to bring to pass that which I promise. It's going to accomplish where I'm sending it, right? It will do that I have designed for it to do. All you and I have to do is decide we're going to see him in every situation that we're faced with. So what do we see? Right? What do you see? Right? Up to me and you to see all that the Lord God has done in Jesus Christ time and time and time again and has faithfully and consistently delivered his people. Right? That's it.